welcome to Bethel Baptist Church as we celebrate the coming advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. Please note that the 3:30 Bible class is canceled this afternoon. And again, we look forward to the Christmas cantata, which will be performed at the 5 o'clock service this afternoon. Everyone's invited, and you may wish to invite friends or relatives also. The New Year's Eve service that we have had in the past will be canceled this year. So there will be no New Year's Eve celebration on December 31st. And also, just another note, the fellowship luncheon, which normally we enjoy on the last Sunday of the month, is also canceled, it being Christmas Day. And one final note, if you wish to follow Pastor Otero's sermon today with the outline, it's inserted in your bulletin. Our scripture reading for this month, which is printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. Let us begin our worship with hymn number 92, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 86, Away in a Manger.
Thank you.
please stand now as we sing hymn number 95, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks?
Let's remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we read in the Gospel of Luke, unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Thank you for sending us a Savior. Thank you for giving us grace and mercy to believe in the Savior. And now, Father, also thank you that we have the greatest privilege on this earth to proclaim through songs and through the written word that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior of our soul. Father, people call that discrimination. People, even I was told that that's harassment against others' gods. Lord, I was blind like them too. And my heart bleeds for those people who have not yet believed. But there is only one way, that we as a church body keep saying with kindness and gentleness, but with firmness, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord, He's the Savior. May this morning the choir bring the attention to people that we sing with joy about Him. May the Word of God challenge the hearts of people not to go too fast on this earth, but to stop and think and find out what is right. We love you, Father, and we keep on going Sunday after Sunday, day after day, proclaiming, helping, counseling, sharing the most powerful tool this earth ever saw, the Word of the Living God. And now, Father, not only we do so here and through the tape ministry and CD ministry and the powerful radio ministry and internet ministry, but also we do it through actual physical people and lands. We pray for Fred as he is recovering in Portland, Oregon, Fred and Carol Lewis. We pray for Carol and Ruth Knotts as they minister the Word in Seville, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain, for David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendaño in Guatemala, for Marta Poretti in Argentina, from the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of trouble in Gilroy, Christian Athletic Association, a help to those who need to look up. And then Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and I thank you, Father, that Miriam and Danny and the family is enjoying Argentina and seeing how different the land is and how much privilege they have living in this land here in America. I wish every American will take step and go not to American hotels in another land, but go to homes and be there and see the lack of things and how happy they are nevertheless. Father, we We pray for those who are passing through sickness, our Master Lady, Mrs. Forrest, who is confined to bed with cancer, but her heart is confined to share the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we pray for Raquel as she is bound home with this terrible system that doesn't clear up. And we pray that through rest and through good medicine and through your mercy, she will be restored. And thank you, Lord, that you have helped me to protect myself from anything that was coming. Thank you for the good doctor who ahead gave me preventive medicine to avoid also that I myself will go down with flus and other things. Thank you, Father. And I pray for those who are sick, for those who are in their body feeling the downhill. And Father, I pray for doctors and for medicine to assist and to help. But without you, we will not have any help. Thank you, Lord, that we have today, this evening, the cantata. It is not a performance. It is a saying to you, thank you, Lord, that you really save us. Thank you, Lord, that one day you really came to this earth. A day in which we celebrated. We don't know, it was December 25th, or as the church thought in the first three centuries, March 25th. Or as the Greek church thought, January 6th. Whatever the day, it is not important. What is important, Father, is that one day you send your son. And nobody knew it. But there will be another day in the schedule of God. The day when the Son of God will come, and the book of Revelation tells us that every eye will see it. For us, a king and a savior. And for some people, a judge. And that's why, Father, we preach the gospel, that many can be reached. We thank you, Lord, for the support of this church and for your people who give with sacrifice. And we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are listening over the internet and radio and send offerings to our church. We don't request a penny from anybody. We want to do this ministry free. Tapes, radio, internet. But your people are gracious and they send us offerings. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Redeem us all.
How great our joy!
Great
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Luke. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 598. We will be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Blessed is the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, because you have been gracious to Israel and now to all believers, we rejoice in those wonderful words of good tidings of great joy, because our Lord and Savior was born in the city of David. We thank you that in his coming we no longer need fear anything that comes our way in this world and the next, because of the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you that we are secure in him, and thank you for such a great salvation. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him and guide him as he again comes to help us know and see Jesus from the scriptures. We also pray for everyone listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that they may be blessed and replace the hearts of stone of any unbelievers that with the hearts of flesh, Lord, that all may rejoice in the good tidings of great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, in the reading of the scripture. And if you can give a little more volume here, the people will listen better in the radio. Remember, now you have an official listening at home. And she asked me for the name who's on the board. So I don't tell you, Brother Menig, that you are there. I will not say. Now, remember this. We, in this month of December, we like to talk about Christmas. And I already prepared a series for the coming year. about Nazareth. But the formula that comes to my mind is December is equal to Christmas, and Christmas is equal to Christ. Not to a holiday season, but to Christ. On December 4, we'll look in the scripture, the incarnation, John 1, verse 14. And I got a tremendous letter from Peru, from a fellow who was listening in the internet, a professor of philosophy at the university, saying he never thought that Christianity was so deep. Actually, it's not deep, it's simple. It's a spelling that means right as the scriptures say it. December 11, we look in the scripture at the Annunciation, when Christ, remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 5, when Christ was announced. Now today, I'd like to call your attention to Luke Gospel again, but this time in chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And I want to address to you about the challenge of Christmas. As you listen to television commentaries, as you read the newspapers, and as you listen to radio, really Christmas has become a challenge to the world. I want to tell you this. God uses a number of means to challenge people. For example, if you look in your Bible in Hebrews 4:12, page 705, Hebrews 4:12, God uses the scripture to challenge people. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, in verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." When you read the Word of God, there is no fooling around. The Word of God penetrates into the deepest part of our life and judge us just as we are. The challenge of the scripture. James put it in this way, the word of God is a mirror. You see it yourself. What about the challenge of the spirit? John 16, verse 7 and 8, page 634. John 16, verse 7 and 8. And verse 8, Jesus said, "It is expedient for me that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send it unto you." And then in verse 8, he revealed the challenge of the Spirit. The Bible said, "When he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, in regard of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment." And verse 9 said, "Sin, because they believe not in me." When I was in seminary, that was the best verse I can take hold for my entire 6 years in the seminary. They will teach you how to preach. They will teach you how to entice people, when the Bible says you only have to expose the scripture, and the scripture will not entice people, will convict people, and will bring people into the gospel. The challenge of the scripture. That's why people said, "I will not read the Bible," because the Bible is a challenge. That's why people said, "I will not go to church," because they know they are challenged. Now the challenge of seasons like Christmas and Easter. Today I'd like to consider with you the challenge of Christmas. Three things I'd like to share with you, and you don't have to take notes. Inside the church bulletin there is a complete outline of the sermon. First, the circumstances of Christmas. What really happened? than the crime of Christmas, and then the claims of Christmas. It's a real challenge. The circumstances of Christmas. You're in the Gospel of Luke. Go to chapter 2 and verse 11. There are three things in that particular verse. Actually, there are six. Three I'll show you now and three later. The circumstances of Christmas. Look at a miracle of divine performance. Look at what verse 11 says. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, you're a Gentile, and you're reading this and say, what are you talking about? But you are a Jew, and you read this, you say, what? A Joshua? What would the Jewish people remind of? They will be reminded of the first book of the Bible on Genesis chapter 3. When man sinned, in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, God promised that Savior of a seed, singular, of a woman. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the serpent, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, singular. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, the promise of a Savior, one Savior of the seed of the women, not the seed of man, male, but the seed of the women was there. Now, Eve believed it. Look at chapter 4 in Genesis. And Adam had intercourse with Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I got the Savior. The English Bible says, I got the man. I got the Savior. She really, what a brilliant woman Eve was. Not only she was Miss Universe, the only woman on the earth, but she was a brilliant woman. She got a baby and she said, that's it. That's what the angel told me. The circumstances of Christmas, a miracle of divine performance. 11,000 years before Christmas, God brings the promise, and now it's there, the seed of the woman. Now, a miracle of divine providence. Look at again, go back to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2 and verse 11, and I read this from my a Greek Bible, so they look at how clear it is. Luke Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11. Here's how the Greek start. This very day, in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. That's how the original reads so clear. This very day, the King James read, unto you was born This day, to use that pronoun in that simple way, this very day. There was no other day on this earth that Jesus could be born. They had to be born this very day. If you move your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, page 686, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul explained that verse in a marvelous way. The Apostle Paul said this, but when the fullness of time was come, this very day, when the fullness of time was come, God sent for his son, made of a woman, that's the same made of a man, made of the woman, made under the law. Do you see it? A miracle of divine providence. Not only God fulfilled his promise on the exact time, on the exact hour, at the precise moment, on the very day they should be born, Jesus was born. Not by the will of man, not by the will of an authority, not by the will of anybody, by the mighty power of God that he designed and execute his design, regardless what mankind said. Remarkable, a miracle of divine providence. And then a miracle of divine prophecy. Look again in Luke Gospel chapter 2 verse 11. His Bible says, unto you is born this very day in the city of David. No anywhere. No in Naphtali. No in Hebron. In the city of David. What is that? Well, go with me to the Old Testament in Micah 5, page 543. Micah chapter 5. Chapter 6 and verse 2. Micah chapter Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and the pages 543. And look at what the prophecy says. But thou, Bethlehem, remember the city of David, that where David was born. You know where David was born. You go to the first king, and you find out David was born in Bethlehem. And but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, thou answer Peter Jennings' broadcast 3 years ago, when he said over the television, how can the Savior of the world be born in this town where nothing was here? That's what the Bible said. Nothing was there. He was correct. Though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come for unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings for have been formed of all from everlasting. And Luke Gospel said, unto you is born this very day in the city of David. That's Bethlehem. The precise birthplace of the Savior. The birthplace of David is enforced into the prophecy, and the birthplace of David is absolutely fulfilled. So the Bible, the circumstances of Christmas are well related and well proved by the Bible. Any Jewish person living at that time who was an Orthodox Jew should know that this is not a coincidence, that this is the hands of God. Now, the crime of Christmas. I'm going to deal with verse 7 in Luke Gospel chapter 2. The crime of ignorance. Look at what verse 7 says. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room. I want to stop there. There was no room. Do you think that times change? Don't change a bit. I stood yesterday for 2 hours at Nob Hill door, asking everybody who coming in to buy all the food they can so they can enjoy the holidays. I asked them only one thing. Will you come to church tomorrow? We're going to talk about the challenge of Christmas. What church? That tiny tingling church on the corner of Tenant Avenue, and I was passing the church cars, and here. No, I had no time, said the lady. But you have time to buy food for the holidays. What holidays? If you take Christ out of the holidays, there is no holidays. What country are you from? That's what they said. Most of the people. I always said from Israel. And what? They don't know my accent. I say from Israel. Oh, they said. Amazing. Another gentleman said, you know, in this country we're free. And we celebrate holidays, and this is a holiday, I don't know what it is, but it's a holiday. Amazing what I learned in 2 hours. No one except the teller that was listening to me from inside have any idea of Christ. Is this where? No. Turn your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians 2:14. I think it's page 671. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14. In revival, the Bible reveals to you the heart of mankind, whether that person is a garbage collector or a surgeon in Stanford University. This is the heart of people. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the people want to discern Christmas by the amount of food they have. They can. Oh, we are a blessed country because we have food. No, we are not a blessed country because we have food. Maybe it's worse that we have food. They have no idea. The crime of ignorance. People have no room for Jesus. And that's expected. Then the crime of willful indifference. If you go back to Luke chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible said, because there was no room for them. Them include Mary and the child. And if you stand in Christ, the unbelievers have no room for you. If you stand in the principles of Christ, if you celebrate Christmas Christ-likeness, the unbelievers do not want to have a part of you. And that's expected. They have no room for you. And then the crime of worldly involvement. Look at in verse 7 again. Because there was no room for them in the inn. In the inn. In other words, the people are busy. They are making a celebration. And they care less about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to the manager of Nob Hill, which is a friend of mine, from Gilroy, I said, why we don't put a big sign here who said, Happy Christmas, Feliz Navidad, Felice Nativity, put it in the three languages of the world, Spanish, Italian, and English. He said, I get fire, he said. You get fire? I help you. I get a job for you. Washing the streets in Morgan Hill or something. No, he said, I have 40 years here. Are you a Roman Catholic? Said, yes. Well, you're a Roman Catholic. What do your priest will say if you said, I'm afraid of losing my job? So, well, this is not a place to do that. Oh, you have to do that. I embattled him for a while. Until I get a free Coca-Cola and I left. See, there is no room for you, guys. There is no room for you. If you stand like Jesus, there is no room for you. That's why the Bible said the unbelievers are completely off. But that doesn't hurt me at all. Because I was like that. I had no room for Christmas when I was young. I have energies. I have people, parties, nothing. What hurts me is that the church now is not having room for Jesus. They're having entertainment, they're having a show, but they are not having the Word of God preached to their people so that they know that they are there to hear the Word of God. That's the time in which we live today. The crime of taking Christ out of the place. I listened to a preacher who he was saying good things, but no once he mentioned that you're a sinner and you're going to hell. And there are 30,000 people in his church. No once he told them, If you do not take the word of God to heart, you are going to spend your eternity in hell. No one's. Because he will say it, three quarters will leave, and the next Sunday, the rest. That's the time in which we live. The crime of not presenting Christ Jesus as it is. The church. But then, the claims of Christmas. The claims of Christmas. Verse 11 again. Look at verse 11. The claims of Christmas. Verse 11. The saving claim upon your life. Look at carefully how it's written. For unto you is born a Savior. You. Not unto the Americans. Not unto the Jewish people. Not unto the Romans. But to you. That word is singular in the original. That means individually. To every one of you is born a Savior. Go to John with me. John 6 and verse 40. John 6. In verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, 40. Everyone who sees the Son, you, me, you individually, everyone who sees the Son as Savior, he will give you everlasting life. And then on the day of the resurrection, he will raise you up. Not if you are Baptist or Catholics or Muslim or whatever. If you have seen the Son, have you seen the Son by the power of the Spirit in your life? Have you seen the Son because there's scripture, brought into your heart, a burning heart to see that there is no other possibility for me to live eternally unless I have Jesus Christ in my heart. Everyone who see the Savior. It is not a general statement. It is a very narrow down statement. It is not a religious statement. It's a salvation statement. Individually. When you read the Old Testament, people say Israel was saved as a group. No, sir. Once a year, every family, read the book of Leviticus, has to bring a lamb for the family. Individually. And you bring the lamb if you believe it. If you don't believe it, you don't bring the lamb. Now, here's the lamb. The saving claims upon your life. Salvation. But that salvation is not an automatic thing. You're a member of Bethel. You're saved. You're a member of the Roman Catholic Church. You're saved. No. That salvation is a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. A personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not arguing with me or with anybody. You got your scripture and you have a personal encounter with Jesus in the scripture. That's how salvation comes. The saving claims upon your life. And you know what people ask? They live so fast in America, they put things away. I briefly got a report from Danny in South America, and he said, boy, what a way to live here. Everything's slow, easy going. If you're going to eat, you eat. You spend 3-4 hours. And you enjoy it. Everything can be done tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Oh, we're going to go to that place. Don't worry about it. We have 24 hours. And we had a wee hours of the morning to walk and enjoy ourselves. We don't want to get hurry here. He says, it's unbelievable. Your blood changed all over because over there, we do things, we had to do 20 things at the time. So we do one thing every day and we enjoy every day. It's to you. People have no time for Jesus. People think they come into church, save them, but doesn't save you. Whatever church you go, doesn't save you. Have you a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus? Through the scripture. Who is Jesus to you? Have you seen the ad in television? where is heaven and how to get to it. Are you seeing that? ABC. It's going to be broadcast this coming Tuesday. Where is heaven and how to get to it? Barbara Walter already wrote a big letter with two scriptures. Here it is, darling. Don't look, don't waste time in the television. The saving claims upon your life. God only can claim your life. No church. God only can claim your life. Now the spiritual claim upon your life. In verse 11, in Luke 2:11, says, "For unto you is born this very day in the city of David a Savior," and they tell you the name. Who is Christ? That's why that answered the question. I got a big call from Fremont, California, from a very famous doctor on pains and so on. He said, "Pastor, I never knew that 80% of Fremont is Arab. And the Arabs are visiting all the houses and don't allow anybody to put a sign about Jesus. So I invite them to my house and I'm talking to them. And they say that we have three gods," he said. "What do we say to them?" It's tremendous what's happening in America. You think the Arabs are calm and quiet? They take over the city and they take over your life and want to command you. So here it is. The Bible said it's Christ. So I give him this verse. Just show it to them. My information book says that my Savior is Christ. Now, and who is Christ? He said, "Oh, that's a good question. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 41. The Bible tells you who is Christ. If you know Greek, you know what it is. But suppose you do not know Greek. So you go to John 1, and in verse 41. And here we have the information. Andrew is the witness. And he said, he first finded his own brother Simon. Andrew finds Simon, which is, you know, Peter, and said unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Christ is the Messiah. Christ, the Lord Jesus, is the Messiah. And so, there is no other spiritual claim that we can have. I see some Catholics praying and then add the prayer to Mary. And I ask them, with all honesty, what is this addition? Is Mary bigger than Jesus? Is anything in the scripture that tells me that Mary is going to push up my prayer a little higher? I guess we are confused about the Savior. The Bible says, which is Christ? And Peter said, Christ is the Messiah. Well, that's the same word. One is in Hebrew, another is in Greek. Same word. Christ is the Messiah. There is no another. There is no Muhammad. There is no Buddha. Barbara Walter, in the American television, called the Lama, the Buddha Lama, my holiness. I said, you have committed the unpardonable sin. You don't call the devil holiness. Wait, maybe you have to visit me in jail, but I tell you, I'm getting disturbed by how the gospel is being covered. Like Romans 1:18 said, they push down the gospel. They're not going to push down Pastor Otero. I have a good help in Greg, so I have more time to write and to put things down. We need to disturb this country. Back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. The spiritual claim upon your life. The only person that can claim your life is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Jew know that. So the Jew are very narrow. Praise God that the Jewish people are narrow. They know exactly what it is, the Messiah. Only they miss the name. They miss Jesus. Now the sovereign claim upon you. And that touched the believers. And verse 11, at the end, the Bible said, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ. And who is Christ? No, just the Messiah. What they said? Kurios, Lord. You know, in England, when you get certain degrees in life, They call you sir, but that's what the word is. Lord. Lord. Now let me show you how much is this Lord. Go with me to Romans 14:9, page 669. Romans 14 and verse 9, page 669. Let me show you when the Bible said Jesus, Lord, what that means. For to this end, I'm reading Romans 14:9, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived or came to life, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. I ask people, a president, a dictator can be Lord of the living, but he never can be Lord of the dead. Hussein can be accused of being of the tyranny upon the living, but he cannot be Lord of the dead. The destiny of our life is not in the hands of man. People learn this is in the hands of God. And Christ Jesus is Lord of your life. I wonder when we read the scripture and we know we are wrong, what stop us not to do what is right? He's Lord. He's Lord of our life. I wonder when we know to do better. I wonder why we don't do it. We live in an information society, they told me. Dangerous. Dangerous. For terrorism? No. Dangerous because the computer can wash away your brain. They have pornography in the computer. They have songs in the computer that you can download, crazy songs. All the songs of my country, no Israel but Argentina, all the songs of my country are the women took off with another man. I don't know what happened 50 years ago in my country. All the women, I was listening to one song from Berkeley University. Put the radio, say, I'm waiting for the girl to come home. I leave my door open and my bed made. This is the guy's crazy. But these are what people think. They had no time. I called the University of Berkeley. You can call. It's a beautiful radio program. And I said, can I have a song to God be the glory? He said, we don't have it here. I can send you a CD. You know, so who made that song? I don't know who made it, but it's good. They don't know. University of Berkeley. I tell you, it's amazing. And you read the newspaper to inform how many people died yesterday. And then you're no wonder people are depressed. They wake up in the morning, they turn on the TV, and they tell you all the people, they're dead, all the accidents, everything. When you go to work, you go with your head already panic. I told Greg, I have the solution for all of this. I'm going to buy a nano. Nano is a sophisticated stuff to put in the pocket with a little thing here. And I'm going to record in Spanish, Italian, and English, the book of Proverbs. And the book of James, which go together, and are going to drive and listen and enjoy ourselves until they saturated my brain so I can be a better pastor and a better husband. Listen, if you want to improve your life, it's not the university that will do it, it's the Word of God that will do it. Why do we leave so fast? Now, what I'm going to read now, I receive it in the email. The email can be used for good. I think that one member of this church sent it to me, and I thought that was fitting for this sermon. This is the way we live, and this is the way that God acts, the challenge of Christmas. The paper that I received said this, a young and successful executive was traveling down a neighborhood street, going a bit too fast in his new Ferrari. He was watching for keys darting out from between parked cars and he slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed, no children appeared. Instead, a brick smashed into the Ferrari side door. He slammed on the brakes and put the Ferrari back to the spot where the brick has been thrown. The angry driver then jumped out of the car, grabbed the nearest kid, and pushed him against a parked car, shouting, "What was that all about? And who are you? Just what the heck are you doing?" That's a new car. And that brick you throw is going to cost a lot of money. Why did you do it? A young boy was apologetic. He said, "Please, sir, please, I am sorry. But I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one else would stop." With tears dripping down his face and off his chin, the youth pointed to a spot just around the parked car. "It is my brother," he said. "He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up, and nobody is stopping to help me." Now sobbing, the boy asked the stunt executive, "Will you please help me get him back into the wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly swelling lumps of his throat. He hurried, he lifted the handicapped boy back into the wheelchair. Then he took out a linen handkerchief and dabbed at the fresh scrapes and cuts. A quick look told him everything was to be okay. "Thank you, and may God bless you," the grateful child told the stranger. Too shocked up for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair bound brother down the sidewalk toward their home. It was a long, slow walk back to the Ferrari. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side of the door. He kept the dent there to remind to the people and himself of this great message. Don't go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to get your attention. God whispers in our souls and speaks to our hearts. Sometimes when we don't have the time to listen, he throws us a brick. This is your church. This is your choice, my friend. Either you listen, or God going to get his attention anyway. Father, sometimes we are like this driver. We go in life so fast. We try to live two lives in one. We try to accumulate the things of this world, and in that endeavor, we forgot the most important part of our life, you. Oh God, don't throw us the brick. We'll listen. We'll listen. May this Christmas be a challenging Christmas where we listen to what God has to say. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Come unto him, all ye that labor, come unto him.
Would you stand, please, for the benediction? And the Dulilos can go, but this one will not go. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Dulilos' presence today in our church service. Thank you for their dedication of their life in our church, their devotion to praise your name. Brother Ken, with his faithfulness in the deacon board. And Father, we pray that as they now made their last stop here and go back to a new life and a new star, we pray that again, you give them light and wisdom, and that they be a blessing at the church they will attend. We thank you, Lord, that in this Christmas, I found myself, it is a challenge for us. People take it very lightly. People take it very commercially. People take it very socially, but they don't take it spiritually. Help us at least to read in a scripture on Christmas Day for us. Oh God, help us to come back to Jesus full-hearted. I know the unbelievers will not understand it. I neither understood that when I was an unbeliever. But once the Word of God and the Christ and Lord comes into our life, oh God, move us. Move us in a way that people may know that we are Christ-like. Father, we want to do this with kindness, gentleness, soft, and love. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.